welcome to the Labrador podcast from Tales of Success Labrador Training. Hello, and thanks for joining me on another episode of the Labrador podcast. It's the official podcast of Tales of Success Labrador Training. For those that don't know me already, my name's Vicky Sharp, and I'm going to be chatting to Katie today about life with her three-year-old female Labrador called Bailey. Katie, thanks for taking time out of your day to share Bailey's story with us today. We're going to be chatting about life with dogs, training, challenges, and living with a dog that suffers from allergies. Give everyone a little introduction to the star of today's show.
All right. Hi, Vicky. Thank you for having us on the podcast to talk about Bailey. So Bailey is my just about turned three-year-old Red Fox Labrador. She is very energetic, very loving, very kind. She's the sweetest dog. And she's a working lion originally. So she's always loves the job to do. But she's just a family pet to me. So we just enjoy some fun training and games together. She's a bundle of fun. So she's always good to be around.
Excellent. Is she the only dog in your household?
Yes, she is. So I have a dog and a cat. So she's got a half brother.
Interestingly, which came first, the dog or the cat?
The cat. Cat's a year older than Bailey, so he's a bit of a boss of the household, and Bailey's had to adapt to him. So
I was going to say, what's that dynamic like? Because often it's a bit fractious at times. Do they get on really well, or do they kind of have separate spaces?
Yeah, it really depends. Like, I think with Bailey, obviously being a Labrador, she's very well natured, so she's pretty open to being around the cat. I think if anything, it's the cat that decides how much time he wants to spend with Bailey. So he's a bit of the boss, and she just takes whatever he gives. So sometimes they'll play and chase each other around, or sometimes they'll just chill out in their own areas. So that's all you can really hope for, I guess.
So Bailey's coming up to 3 years now. So what made you decide to go out and get yourself a lovely little fox red Labrador the best part of 3 years ago?
Yeah, so I always grew up with dogs around, so I knew I always wanted to have a dog of my own. And obviously having the cat first, I knew I needed to be really considerate about the breed that I chose. When I was looking, it kind of led me down the path to Labradors, you know, because they're so well-natured and gentle, but also really good family pets, adaptable, and obviously very bright for their training as well. I wanted a dog that was bright and would enjoy training and doing those types of activities with me as well. So those were the kind of qualities that I was looking for in a dog. And I mean, Labradors are pretty perfect for all of those things. So yeah. And then the fox red bit was just a bonus. So she's redhead like me.
And just tell people what part of the world you kind of had Bailey in the very beginning. So town setting, rural setting?
Yeah, so initially, so Bailey, her background is a working line. So she did come from a farm in a rural setting. And then we initially moved to, or when she first came home, we were in a city. So she went from rural to city. And that was a pretty easy adjustment for her. You know, she was young, obviously 8 weeks old at the time. So everything was new, regardless of what it was that you were doing. And then when she was about one and a bit, we moved back to a rural setting. So she again adapted to that, and she just loves it. She loves being able to run and just run open in fields, has the best time running and swimming in the river. She just loves being rural and having that bit more space. It's exciting for her.
Would you say that then is where she's kind of at her happiest? Is she very much an outdoorsy type dog?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, don't get me wrong, she loves a good sleep on the sofa or in the bed as well. Like she likes her downtime, but her eyes just light up when she's outside, just running about, chasing rabbits, doing whatever she wants.
And I'm guessing the very fact you're smiling as you're talking about her, you've got no regrets about bringing a Labrador into your life. Is that correct?
None at all. Like, not even a single second. Like, doubt in my mind that getting Bailey is like one of the best things in my life for sure.
Good. Excellent. One of the things we like to chat about is training, because tales of success do training. So it's good to kind of figure out what people have done, why they've done it, what works well, because all of our listeners will hopefully take something from that of what they might be able to use in their own worlds, really. So talk to us about training with Bailey. What does daily or weekly or monthly training look like?
Yeah, so now we kind of have a bit of a steady routine going with her coming up to three. So what we tend to do is she gets out for usually a short lunchtime walk, and then I take her full walk in the evenings. But on her little lunchtime walk, what we tend to do is practice things like heel walking, lead walking, because, you know, that's, I think, a challenge with a lot of people, but for Bailey, that's been a challenge. So that's kind of our block time to focus on that. And then that's happening daily. So she's in a good routine of consistent practice. And then when it kind of gets to meal times, we practice things, general kind of weight commands, or we do a bit of like touch command, whatever it is, just as a release for her to get her meal. So we incorporate some kinds of training around meal times as well. And then the weekends are kind of the fun sessions. So that's where we might roll in some things like agility training or a little bit of gun dog style training. She loves, 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 loves like gun dog dummies, and just throwing those commands, working in that kind of way just seems to really be something she enjoys. So trying to incorporate that in where we can, and even like scent work is good fun as well for her. So all those types of activities tends to be like the slightly more time consuming ones, like even just to prepare is like her owner. So, you know, those are kind of her weekend activities where we can dedicate a bit more time.
Would you say with her training, you have to kind of convince her to take part in certain elements of training, or is she very much just wanting to have stuff to do all the time? Is she a willing participant for everything you do?
She's definitely willing, but she has her favorites. So sometimes I'll take her to like a training field that has like agility equipment, and I'll take like her gun dog dummies as well. And I'll be trying to do a bit of agility with her, but she's carrying that dummy. She's not putting that down. She's like, no, I want to do gun dog training right now. So she kind of makes the decision about what we do. So she has her favorites, but she's always happy to do something for sure.
I think that's nice. Like, you've got a healthy mix, agility, gun dog, scent work, all that kind of stuff. So lots of different fun activities that you can tap into really nicely. But there's also the boring, mundane stuff. And you've kind of alluded to already heel work being a little bit of a challenge, as it is with lots of youngsters. What are your top skills to work on kind of week in, week out with her that you feel that you constantly rinse and repeat almost?
Yeah, I think all the ones that we kind of consistently practice now, it all tends to revolve around her safety. So things like lead walking, aware of risks, that, you know, going back into a city, lots of cars being around, she needs to be able to walk nicely on a lead for her own safety, and even just for her joints and her neck, all those types of areas that could be at risk if she pulls a lot or, you know, causes excess strain to them. So heel walking for her safety. Recall, again, super important for safety. I think that, you know, dogs tend to go through phases. I know Bailey has, where sometimes she's been excellent at recall, and then sometimes she dips off a little bit and starts to become a bit more independent. So I think consistent practice around that, again, only ensures her safety. Again, you know, things like leave it commands, that's something we have to consistently practice. I think being a bit more rural now, you know, sometimes we're out in the field and there can be something on the floor that might not be sanitary or safe for her to eat and consume. And, you know, Labradors, they love their food regardless of what it is. So, you know, she tries to pick something up in her mouth. I need to know and trust that if she's off the lead, she's going to listen to me and leave it and put it down so that she's not consuming anything harmful. So that then I have the opportunity to intervene and actually make that safe for her. So yeah, I think everything pretty much around safety is the kind of things we keep really consistent. And I suppose it's maybe the less fun ones in terms of Bailey's enjoyment, but probably the most important ones to her overall health and safety, really.
Yeah, and confidence that, you know, you can keep her as safe as possible as well. Yeah. I know we started training with each other when Bailey was a teeny tiny little puppy, and I was trying to think earlier how old she was. She was 10, 12 weeks, something like that?
Yeah, I think she would have been, because she was a lockdown pup, so there was no in-person classes. So I was frantically on Google, like, what do I do? And then I came across Tales of Success, so that was perfect. But yeah, she was just, I think, about 10 weeks old, because I actually remember her getting her little post box from you, and yeah, she was going crazy. So yeah, that was a good while ago now.
Yeah. Do you feel that it was a good thing to start her training early, so getting that real nice kickstart and making it normal? Do you think that's benefited her longer term?
Absolutely, yeah. Like, I think if anything, like, Bailey's the first dog that I've had on my own. I think if anything, I wish I'd maximized that time more. I think she was really keen to learn and eager to please at such a young age, that she was so impressionable. And I mean, you know, Vicky, she picked things up super quickly, that I think me as her owner and her trainer, I could have probably done a lot more with her in that phase of her life that would have made things easier now if I had, you know, kept them consistent and introduced them early on. So I think introducing stuff early does really make things easier, because it's just like clockwork to her now for all of those things that she learned when she was, you know, that 10, 12 weeks old, like middle touch, like all of these things that we've done. She just loves them, and she just knows it, and it's instant for her.
Yeah, sounds like they've just become Bailey's kind of normal repertoire, yeah, of skills that she knows and can tap into. So we started that training early. You've gone for best part of 3 years now with Bailey. Do you think that the training you do with her is ever going to end? Now, it might mean like you don't go to any more classes, but actually you've already said about agility, scent work and gun dog skills, which is still a form of training, albeit you're having a lot of fun in the meantime. Do you think that's something that will carry on for the foreseeable?
Yeah, I don't really ever see training with Bailey ending. Like, I think it's something that will probably do for her whole life, like in some capacity. One, because she just enjoys it, but two, I think it's really what helps us have a connection and a bond between each other. Like, she looks to me for something to do. That's just her nature, especially the working line. She's always looking for a job or a task or a command, and I think just being able to provide that is what actually builds that strong connection between dog and human, I think. So yeah, I don't see that stopping anytime soon.
What do you think life would be like right this moment had you have done no training at all with Bailey? Do you think she'd be having like the best time and causing havoc, or would she just still be this lovely lady that she is?
I think she would definitely cause havoc. She would definitely be a lot more bouncy, and I think energetic in a way, because I think one fundamental thing is that ability to teach settle and really get Labradors to kind of calm down for a little while. I think it's just sometimes not in their own ability or nature to stop, and you kind of have to force them just to have a little lie down for a minute. So I think she would definitely be causing havoc, a lot more energetic, very, very bouncy. I mean, she already is, so I could just imagine that like times 10. But yeah, I think she would still be very sweet, because I think that is just her nature, but a little bit more chaotic would be how I would describe it.
The training that you've done, have you followed particular methods or styles? So by that, really, what I'm looking at is, do you follow things like reward-based training, positive reinforcement, aversive methods, balanced styles? So many different ways to kind of class your training method. Do you subscribe to one of those particular methods?
Yeah, tends to be much more reward based, so both food or play, really. Bailey's pretty driven by both, so you know, Labradors, again, very food based. She's always happy to receive a treat or a bit of boiled chicken, something like that. Great incentive for her to do any sort of training activities. But we also use things like the tuggy enough toys as like a reward as well. So incorporating those in can be a good variety. We sometimes do, like, if she's done something that's, you know, again, coming back to safety, so something that has risked her safety or not listened to me in a time where it could have really harmed her. Those moments I'll use verbal, I'll tell her off, basically. And she hates being told that she's bad. She just does not like it. She looks so upset in her face. She knows that she's done wrong. So I kind of keep that only for moments that it is, you know, something that could have caused her harm, just so that she knows the difference. Because I think it's really important when she knows that I'm happy with her and we use that reward in the play and she knows that she's done well, but also in those moments that it could have, you know, caused her harm, that she knows that's not acceptable. And using things like, that's bad, she just hates it. So trying to incorporate those in, but I would say it's probably more like 90-10% on that sort of balance.
Yeah, so it's finding effective communication for your dog. And, you know, you saying to Bailey she's bad sounds like I've just got this vision of her looking all sad, but actually if you said the same thing to another dog, it might not have any meaning at all. It just has a particular meaning for Bailey, which is why it's effective. And I think any of that negative stuff, it has its place, absolutely. But we want to make sure it's really kind of leveled out with that positive stuff, which you are doing as well. So she can really make really wise, informed choices about what response she wants to get. Does she want the really happy Katie or the sad, you know, sort of you've been naughty Katie? So it's allowing her to make good choices. And it sounds like it works quite well for you to help her not get herself into bother.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that, you know, that sort of happy, excited Kay that we bring out during that reward time, I think that's something we covered in training, is like almost treating your dog like they're still a puppy. And like, I will do that for Bailey. Like, I will get on the floor, I will squeal like a child and get really excited, you know, make a huge fuss about when she does something really well. And she responds incredible to that. Like, she loves that. She gets so happy and excited. Like, she can tell that she's done well in those situations. So if I can use that method, I absolutely will. And she does really respond to that sort of happy Katie as well. So it's good to bring out that side as well when we can.
Yeah. I remember us having that conversation about how we can reward our dogs, and as saying, you know, do you still treat your 18-month-old puppy in the same excitable way as you did when they were 12 weeks old? And most people will answer no, because I don't have this excitable little puppy anymore. But if we go right back to that 8-12 week point and we get down at their level, we clap our hands, we get all excited, suddenly you see a dog that's become a bit more invigorated. And I know we did that with Bailey, didn't we, with kind of trying to get back on track with recall and bits and stuff like that. So it doesn't always have to be about food, toys. It can just be sheer enthusiasm from the human side, which is good. So Bailey was your first dog, and you're now best part of 3 years into it. You're still smiling, you're still awake, so everything's going okay. Has the reality of having Bailey in your life been what you perceived it would be, or is it totally, totally different?
I think it's probably... I think it's much and such what I expected it to be. I think if anything, it's probably been a bit smoother than I expected. I think Bailey's really taken everything in her stride really well. Like, she had picked up her training, like, albeit training is still difficult regardless of how well your dog picks it up. It's still a process you have to go through, but she picked up training very well. So it was always quite an enjoyable process doing that with Bailey. So I think that kind of makes it more fun for both of us. I think the thing that has been different is, like, I grew up with small dogs and I obviously don't have a small dog. So, you know, obviously understanding her requirements and needs compared to a small dog has been different for me. And I guess my expectations of having a dog, just in terms of again, their nature, their behavior around other people, just in terms of, you know, how they act, or, you know, just general requirements, really. It's all, even financial, it's all a lot different for a bigger dog compared to a small dog.
Would you go for another big dog in the future, or would you look at going back to kind of those small dogs which you'd previously understood?
No, I think I think about this often, and I'm like, I don't know if I would ever get another dog other than a Labrador now. I feel like one and I'm hooked. Like, I think it will just be labs for life, honestly.
Every single person listening to this is in total agreement with you. Like, once you've had one lab, that is it. You're kind of in the Labrador world from that point onwards.
Yeah.
They're not all brilliant though. There are frustrations. What's the frustration, the biggest frustration with kind of having a Labrador?
The biggest frustration would be sharing my bed, honestly. She takes up so much room, and she just squeezes her butt in anywhere she can. But no, I honestly, I don't think there's any real frustration I have with having Bailey in my life. I think anything that it's probably just those day-to-day frustrations that happen. And I think if anything, they all come down to me as her owner and her trainer at the end of the day, rather than herself. So I think sometimes it's more frustrations with me than it is with Bailey necessarily, to be honest.
Yeah, that makes total sense. So also think back about challenges, failures, however you want to refer to it. What have been those standout moments in the 3 years where you think, wish I'd not done that, wish that I'd have gone differently? And how's it helped you be a better carer or trainer for Bailey?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I look back on and wish that I'd done differently was when she started, we started taking her off lead for walks, and we practiced more recall, and we kind of became very recall driven, because obviously that was the priority. That was the new skill that she was learning. And up until that point, we had worked really, really strongly on the heel walking. And I think once she started getting off lead for walks, the heel walking definitely took a backseat in our training practices, and even just in my priority, it wasn't really something I was thinking about anymore, because she was getting off lead for her walks. So that then once we went back and was starting to walk on heel again or on lead, you know, that became much, much harder. I wasn't consistent with that for her. So it was again like kind of having to learn from scratch and almost going over bad habits that she picked up from that time of not practicing it and just getting off lead. So I think with my next Labrador, that's something I will absolutely be consistent about, even when, you know, recall and coming off the lead comes into play once they get a bit older, and kind of maintaining that consistently.
Good. I just smiled there when you said the next Labrador, so you're thinking about it. Do you think another one will come along at any point?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's no doubt about it. I think I will definitely get another Labrador. I think it's just a little time bomb of when that will be. I mean, I keep seeing them all the time, and Bailey's mom and dad have had a few other litters, and I'm just, you know, on there looking, just a quick look.
Let's look at a couple of bits of advice that you might be able to give other people that are maybe stepping into the Labrador world for the first time then. So what would you say was the biggest misunderstanding that you experienced about owning Labradors? Because I'm sure when you got Bailey, you probably read books, looked at the internet, and, you know, picked out the top five things you should do. What was the biggest misunderstanding?
Yeah, I think the biggest misunderstanding was probably the walking that they need to tire them out, and just the amount of exercise. Like, I think in general with dog owning, the sort of main thing that's put on how to tire them out is just take them on a long walk. But I think there's so much more to it than that. I think especially Labradors, when they are so keen to have training exercises and so keen to do things like snuffle mats or, you know, just scent work in general, that tires them out in a totally different way than walking does, but is equally effective in its own right. Each has their time and their place. I don't think that you necessarily need to take your lab for a 2-hour hike every day. You know, I think some days a 45-minute walk and, you know, half an hour of scent work is a great mix, and that will be just as effective, if not more, because you're not overstraining the joints or anything like that as well. So I think just in terms of how to balance their energy down, I think when I was researching and looking at stuff, everything just pointed towards long walks. And I think there's just so many other ways that you can do that as well.
Yeah. But sometimes when you just rely on walks, and particularly if they're long walks, you are just conditioning your dog to expect really long walks every day. You're essentially turning them into an athlete, and sometimes teaching them to chill out and relax can be a much better way of doing things. What's your go-to enrichment activity to do with Bailey? Does she have a favorite thing, whether it's snuffle mats or scent games? Have you got a particular favorite?
Yeah, so I actually have a funny story. So we try and do scent games, and what I tend to do is take like empty toilet roll holders, and I'll put like a tea bag in one of them. So I'll maybe have like 3 or 4, and I'll put a tea bag in one, and then kind of introduce them to her at the start, and then reward her for when she finds the one with the tea bag in it, you know, when she touches that with her nose. And we'll kind of do that a few times, repeat that kind of practice, and then I'll hide them either in the garden, or usually in the garden, sometimes in the house. So anyway, we were doing that one day, and I think it started to rain, so I took it inside. I sat her down, and I tell her to say it, and then I tell her to go and find it. She went through to the kitchen, paws up on the counter right by the kettle, where we keep all the tea bags. And I didn't even think. And I was like, I guess she's right. You know, that is where the scent is coming from. So she loves games like that. She loves hide and seek. She loves to just go and find an object. So a tennis ball will sometimes, again, I'll just tell her to sit like in the living room, sit and stay. I'll take her tennis ball and hide it, like, I don't know, upstairs or in the side of a box or something like that, and tell her to go and find it. And her tail just goes 100 miles an hour when she's doing this, because she's so happy, and her nose is to the floor the whole time. So, and I think that's the type of thing. It doesn't take long on my part, doesn't cost a lot or really anything. So there's really accessible ways that people can incorporate these kind of fun training exercises and scent work and enrichment into the dog's life. And I mean, even from 15 minutes of doing that with Bailey, I feel like she's just like actually smiling, you know.
Yeah. And actually a lot of the stuff that you need for that is just the contents of your recycling bin. You don't need to go out and buy lots of special things for a lot of that stuff. And I love that one with the tea bag in the toilet rolls. That's perfect. You just have to teach her to boil the kettle now and make you a cup of tea when she finds it.
Yeah, that would be good. I mean, yeah, she can bring me the tea bag, but that's as far as she's getting. Maybe we'll move on to sugar next, and I'll just get one ingredient at a time.
If you could give one little bit of advice to a new Labrador owner, specifically around training and just generally kind of making sure the welfare is kept up to date for their dog getting older, what would it be?
I think it's just consistency. Like, consistency is key. Just repeating these practices, like just even a little bit every day or a little bit every week, just whatever you can give to make sure that that's consistent and staying in your dog's mind. I think that is just such a big game changer to making it successful in the long run, really.
Bob advice. Yep, perfect. I want to move on now to allergies, because she's had a bit of a rough ride with allergies from, you know, well, for quite a while now. So what I'd like you to do, tell us a little bit about really when you noticed that something wasn't quite right with Bailey, what it was that made you think that, and kind of how it developed, I suppose, in the early stages. How old was she?
Yeah, so she was just about, I think about 1.5 going on 2. And it kind of started out that I noticed she was walking a little bit funny. Her paws just seemed to be a bit more sensitive. And she was just licking at her paws quite a lot. So when I checked the paws, the first thing that I noticed was she had like almost like blisters in between her paw pads. So instantly I knew that wasn't normal. So I phoned the vets and they called her in, and they initially just gave her a cream. I didn't think they thought initially that, you know, maybe she had a blade of grass stuck in her paw pads, or, you know, she just got something infected and it was just a little bit of an infection in her paws. So she had to get cream initially and wrapped little socks on her, which, by the way, she hated me for. She did not enjoy that. But then after that, it was maybe like that cleared up, the blisters went away, and the vets were quite happy with it. But after that, I kind of noticed, I think it was maybe about, it wasn't long after, maybe like 3 to 4 weeks after, her nails were actually like crumbling. They were falling apart and falling off, and the quick of her nail was visible on quite a few of her nails. And she was obviously in a bit of pain from that. So again, I took her back to the vets. And at this point, you know, I'd obviously be doing my own research just online to see, you know, what kind of, you know, conditions it could be, or, you know, if there was anything I could do to help her at home. And one of the things that came up was SLO, which is like a type of nail condition. And it's like an autoimmune condition where basically the body attacks the nail. And it was looking really similar to that. So I spoke to the vet about it, and they weren't really sure, because it's quite rare, I think, this SLO. But what they had recommended was that we actually get referred to a dermatologist. So the closest one to us was about a 4-hour drive away. So we took a little adventure and went down to the dermatologist vet. And they had a look. And again, you know, we were running through, at that point, they were starting to think maybe allergies, because the dermatologist did have a look, like even under her arms, like under her legs, there was kind of a little bit of dry, flaky skin, nothing major, nothing that would really kind of set off alarm bells, but just kind of enough that they thought maybe it could be something in her diet. So we were kind of running through everything that she got to eat. And at that point, there was quite a mix in terms of different meats, different, like, you know, sometimes she was getting chicken, sometimes she was getting lamb, sometimes she was having like a beef treat or two or something like that. There was quite a lot of different varieties. So what we started to do was basically an elimination diet. And I basically cut out all the different varieties and stuck to one at a time. And it was a long process to try and find, you know, something that she seemed to have a reaction to. And the thing is, it's very difficult to even find dog food that is one meat only. Some of them was, you know, chicken and beef, or beef and lamb. You know, even finding a one protein source dog food was quite hard. So we were trying to reduce what she'd found or was eating. And we were kind of taking logs of everything that she was getting to eat. And then at that point, the vet had also suggested a environmental allergen test. So what they'd done was they put her to sleep and shaved off the side of her fur, and basically put in different allergens, just like we kind of get for humans. And yeah, she came up with an allergen panel. So she does have a few environmental allergens. There's a couple of trees in there. There's a couple of different spores and just house mites, these types of things that can't really control a whole lot of. So we know she does have some of these, but it still was a tie up between, are these the ones causing it? Because none of those were really major allergies. But, you know, they were also, it could be that plus a food allergen. So I was trialing different foods. I had to get a specific type of food from the vet, which was a soy-based protein. It was white. Bailey surprisingly ate it.
Very exciting for a Labrador when they see white soy-based protein, yep.
Yeah, it was not. I'm actually still to this day shocked that she even ate it, because it didn't look like dog food at all. But she did. I shouldn't be surprised. She's a Labrador, so I shouldn't be surprised. She still ate it. And she was on that for a good bit. And there was a little bit of reduction in her symptoms. At this point, it was kind of a complex thing, because you've got so many different elements going on. There's obviously the environmental stuff. There was the food and the kind of elimination diet. And then there was also the kind of trying to actively treat what was wrong with her nails. So she was getting Epsom salt baths pretty much every day, just to try and at least try and heal and take away some of the pain, because she had to get a few of her nails actually removed because they had crumbled so much. So it was like a lot of quick was exposed, which was obviously really painful for her. And yeah, she just was not having the best time. Like, obviously because of that, her walks were even shorter. She was tired, just absolutely not herself. So yeah, it was quite a emotional roller coaster for, I think, both of us really going through all of that.
So the nail issue particularly, so that sounds pretty horrific, to be honest, with the nails crumbling and falling off and having to have them removed. Did that sort itself out once you managed to find out kind of what food worked best for her? Did it naturally resolve itself, or was that a whole separate issue?
Yeah, so it did eventually kind of resolve itself. So the vets recommended that she went on a super high dose of salmon oil, and it's the Euderm one. It's got a few different ingredients in it as well that basically boost for the skin and also nails. So she's on about three times her body weight dose for her. And I've just kept that consistent. So that will just remain her kind of steady constant, just to make sure that she's kind of got that protection. And that seems to really help boost her nails. I was also giving her a couple of other tablets at the time. She was on a biotin supplement, and that seemed to really strengthen her nails while they were repairing. She's since off that now, but her nails are much stronger now. And thankfully, touch wood, we've not had an issue since. So I think going through kind of treating the nails with the salmon oil and the biotin, restoring their strength and really getting them back to a kind of normal level. And then we kind of also identified some foods that seemed to be triggering her. I noticed that when she had beef, she was actually sometimes sick when she had beef. And again, is it because she's a Labrador and she eats pretty quickly? But she eats, you know, fairly quickly most of her meals. But even with a slow feeder or things like that, she was still basically, you know, being sick sometimes when she had beef. So I ruled that as probably an allergen. And lamb, when she used to get lamb chews quite regularly for her teeth. And then I noticed when she was having lamb after the kind of elimination of it, she was coming out in sort of red patches on her chest, which seemed to be like a skin reaction. It wasn't, again, not huge areas, but just enough, and it felt a little bit hot to touch, and she was a bit more itchy. So again, I kind of ruled that beef and lamb seemed to be her food allergens, or at least things that she seems to be a little bit more intolerant to. It's maybe not a full-blown allergy, but enough that we can probably do without it in her diet, and she's quite happy. So we tend to stick to predominantly fish. It seems to be much easier. So salmon is her primary food source. Also great because it adds more oils into her and keeps that shiny coat, healthy, strong nails. But also things like chicken. We do have a little bit of chicken and she seems to be okay with that. But predominantly a fish. She's a seafood girl, so she gets her seafood now.
So essentially we're now controlling this response to different allergens simply by picking the right diet? Is that where you're currently at, or do you have to have any ongoing medication or veterinary support as well?
Yeah, so one thing I have noticed is now that we're kind of into summer, I have noticed it does seem to be a little bit worse than she was in winter. Not so much in her nails, but just kind of in how itchy her skin seems to be. She kind of gets a little bit of a runny nose as well, and she sneezes a lot. So I'm thinking it's kind of a combination of diet and environmental. So now we're kind of at a steady place where her general health is good. She's, you know, she's not in any pain or discomfort. Her nails are strong. So the control is kind of the diet plus the salmon oil and that treatment. And then I think there potentially still might be some more investigation we need to do in terms of the environmental and whether it's like a seasonal allergy. Like, again, if it's these sort of identified tree pollens, it could just be a little bit of hay fever as well. So it may flare up in the spring, summer months. And I just spoke to her dermatologist not that long ago, actually, and she recommended even it's a type of shampoo, and they have a shampoo, there is a mousse, and there is a cotton cleanse pad, and it's called Duexo. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Duexo S3. So we're using that on her skin seasonally now to kind of protect from that pollen potential exposure. And it's also scientifically made to soothe the skin of dogs. So we're using that at the minute, but the dermatologist did say they do have pets that come in and get allergen treatments. So typically that'll be like an injection to help the immune response, and that's kind of given typically every month, just as a sort of booster to help boost their immune response to those allergens. So they do have dogs that come in, you know, and just have that treatment for, say, the spring, summer months if they do have these types of hay fever. So I think it's still quite difficult to tell, because really Bailey's only three. Allergens don't tend to appear in dogs till a year, maybe 2 years old. So this is really only her sort of second season, if you like, of potentially having these sort of symptoms. So I think what we're trying to do is control the diet, because we know that she does have some intolerance or allergen there. Keep her salmon oil high so that her nails are protected. Treat her when we can with the shampoos and mousses so that her skin is soothed, and that she doesn't get any sort of secondary infection or anything from potential itching or scratching. And then, you know, if it seems to be a pattern, maybe even next year, if it settles down over winter and then flares again next summer, then I'll have a bit of a better idea, and then we can maybe look to see what other support we can give her come those peak months.
Yeah, so you've got like a big wraparound approach that you're taking to the whole thing, haven't you, really? And I think, interestingly, food is a big part of it. You know, you've identified a particular type of protein that works well. It's also important to, you know, treats that you give your dogs, because I know you found it quite difficult to get treats for different things. So have you really had to cut out certain chews and treats and stuff like that to help?
Yeah, absolutely. It was really difficult because, like I say, Bailey was getting pretty much a lamb chew at least every week. And that was really for her dental health. And I think dental health was one of the hardest things I found to try and get something to substitute that would be, you know, as good at cleaning her teeth as, you know, some of these beef or lamb chews are. So we have found some. Thankfully, she's back on yak bone. She loved them as a puppy. She went off them for a little bit, but she's back on the boat, and I hope she stays there because they seem to be great and they're great for her teeth. But you know, general treats and things, yeah, it is about restricting those protein sources. So again, she gets predominantly fish based protein treats. And I think one thing that's actually I find quite difficult is when we're out on a walk, or you know, you have maybe family or friends over, and you know, a lot of people that are dog owners just naturally carry treats on them and will quite easily offer a treat to your dog, and before you know it, you've got a Labrador who's almost instantly accepting that, even before you have a chance to say, oh, hold on, she's got allergies. So it's kind of trying to intervene very quickly and keep a close eye. And like, I feel like, you know how you get those bits on leads for like, I'm a nervous dog, I feel like I need one that says, I have allergies, please do not feed me.
So, like when you go to the zoo, isn't it? Signs, do not feed the animals, they're all on diets.
Yeah, pretty much. So, but carrots is a great one. She loves carrots and she's very into her veggies, so we know we're safe on that front.
Lots of crunchy vegetables, carrots in particular, great ways to just help the teeth. You mentioned that you've kind of found a food that works. So food is a big minefield for a lot of people, and everyone's always saying, you know, what should I feed my dog, what's best? I don't know what the answer to this is going to be, but give a little shout out to whoever your preferred food supplier is, I guess. What's worked well for you?
Yeah, it has been Butternut Box. It's honestly been a lifesaver for us. Bailey was on Butternut Box when she was younger, and it kind of times up with when her allergies started to appear, and we moved more out to the country. We couldn't get Butternut Box delivered anymore because we're quite up north in Scotland. There's no frozen deliveries up here. It just wasn't a thing. So I had to find an alternative for her, and then, like I say, that's kind of when her allergies started to show. And we went through so many foods. Like, she would pick a food, I would get the trial pack, she would eat it, I would buy the big bag, she didn't want it anymore, and that happened over and over again. But then thankfully Butternut Box resumed and they actually started to deliver up north, which has been a lifesaver, because we love just being able to go on, select the salmon and chicken meals, and I can avoid all the other proteins and she still gets that little bit of variety, but she just loves it. Like, she just eats it and her coat is always shiny. And I think it's just been really, really positive for her health overall. So love Butternut Box, big fan.
Likewise, I am a fan too. I've fed it to my dogs previously, and I've not yet found a Labrador that has turned their nose up at it. And on the point of Butternut Box, I didn't know you were going to give that as your answer, but I can offer our listeners a bit of a discount should they want to try Butternut Box. So if you go to the Butternut Box website, you can get 75% off your first box and then an additional 25% off your second box simply by putting in the code Tales of Success when you hit checkout. So give them a little try. Katie, is there anything else about Bailey's allergies that our listeners might like to know? Anything that you think might help other people?
I think that other thing I would mention is actually now that obviously Bailey's been through that experience with her nails, she has developed a little bit of a fear with, you know, even getting her nails trimmed on the regular. Like, if we go to the groomer and she gets her nails cut, she is a bit more nervous about people touching her nails and even me touching her paws. Like, she will let me, but she will try and pull her paw away a little bit more because she does have that, I think, association with it causing her pain a few months ago. So I think the only thing I would say to anybody else that may have a dog that struggles with allergies is try and think about, I suppose, when you're going through the process, how you can make the whole situation more comfortable to try and limit the after effects your dog might have or the fears they might pick up. I think, obviously, when I was at the vets with Bailey, a lot of the time you're in the moment and you're quite concerned about obviously our health, like that's a primary thing that I'm worried about, but I wasn't really thinking about how that could affect her months later, just in terms of, you know, having people touch her paws. I feel like if I was maybe again a bit more or had a really strong reward with me for her in those moments, she might have a bit more of a positive association with that, whereas I think it was largely just fear. You know, she was getting her nails clipped and cut, she just associates it now with that kind of bad time for her. So I think it's trying to be mindful about how you can support your dog in the moment, but also how it might impact them in the future as well.
Brilliant advice, thank you. Our listeners have heard a little bit now about Bailey, so they need to go and see her. they need to know how lovely and cute she is and put a face to the information they've just received. So we know that Bailey has a Instagram account. So read out where people can go and find her.
Yes, she is on Instagram. She's a little influencer dog. She's Bailey _ the Red Labrador on Instagram. So you can find her there. And yeah, I agree. She's adorable.
Not at all biased, but yes,
not at all.
Absolutely. Katie, thank you for sharing Bailey's story with us and also giving us some really great insights into canine allergies. To our wonderful listeners, if you are enjoying tuning into the Labrador podcast, can I ask a huge favor? Could you do one of two things for me if you get time? Could you leave us a little review on the podcast store where you listen to us, or take just a moment to click share the podcast with another Labrador owner who may find it helpful. You're all stars. Thank you very much. Thanks for joining us. Find out more by checking out talesofsuccess.com or search at talessuccess on your social channels.